Thank you, Father, for the word of the Lord this morning. Thank you that you've forgiven all our sin, healed all our diseases. Lord, I also thank you for the power of the word. Lord, we're going to eat good this morning. I thank you for good soil. I thank you for hungry hearts, Lord. It is written in Matthew 5:6, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Lord, and we hunger for your word this morning. We hunger for truth. We hunger for righteousness. And Lord, that's the posture of our heart and mind today. We want to grow to look just like you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. 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 Well, we've been in the series, Pathways to Partnership. And, I'll tell you what. I'm going to do it. I know I already prayed, but I got to tell you, Gladys read some of these at 60 plus Friday night, and I was so amused. I thought I'd share a few of them with you. Maybe I might do a few from week to week. But just to, laughter does good like a medicine. So these are actual church bulletins, and I want to share a few of them, and then I'll get into the word with you. It said in the bulletin, the fasting and prayer conference includes meals. The sermon this morning, Jesus walks on the water. The sermon tonight, searching for Jesus. Ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around the house. Be sure and bring your husbands. And the last one I'll give you today. Don't let worry kill you. Let the church help. Oh, goodness. We are in our 11th week on Pathways to Partnership. The Lord desires that we come together. Everybody say, come together in partnership. Say, in partnership. Philippians chapter 1, verse 5. I'm not going to put it on the screen for you today. I've got another one that has koinonia in it. But Paul says, I give thanks for you every time I think of you for your partnership in the gospel. And the Greek word there for partnership is koinonia. Okay, and it literally means working together, contributing to a cause together. It's a spiritual fellowship among believers. So the Lord desires that we partner together as a church family, and I like as a spiritual juggernaut. We're to partner together as a spiritual juggernaut, as the Lord's army, in order to advance His kingdom one heart at a time. So He's given us five core tenets. Honor, humility, trust, the unity of the Spirit, and hearts for reconciliation. And that's where we are, is number four, the unity of the Spirit. So we're going to continue with that. John 17:20, Jesus said, I do not pray for these alone, but I pray for those who will believe in me through their word. Everybody say, that's me. Okay, he's talking about us. I pray that they would be one, as you, Father, are in me and I'm in you, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. How about that? He's praying for our unity, our oneness, so that the world will know that God sent Jesus here for them. Amen. Amen. Verse 22, and the glory which you gave me, I've given them that they may be one just as we are one. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't say, all right, church, everybody go be one, go get unified. He didn't say that. He said, the will of the Lord is that we're one as He and the Father are one. So the glory, Father, you gave me, I give to them so they can do it. Amen. So you have the glory of God living on the inside of you. You have the unity of the Spirit. It's already yours. He gave it to you. He's not a hard taskmaster. He's not saying go work it up, go manufacture it, go create it somehow. He said, I'm giving you your oneness. The glory, the view and opinion of God, the perspective of God, I'm giving to you. It's also His character and nature, the glory of His presence He put inside of us. So we're one in the Spirit that way. Verse 23 says, I and them, you and me, that they may be made perfect in oneness, that the world may know that you have sent me. And I looked up the Greek word for one, and it literally says one, like not multiple. We are to be one. We are one in the Spirit. And I would say in actuality, we need to walk out the reality of our oneness. Churches are too scattered. If you've been in church very long over the years, it doesn't take much to split a church or somebody get mad and leave, and they forfeit this prayer right here. We're called to oneness. We are one. We're one in Christ. And that the world may know that you sent me here and that you love them just like you love me. Wow. So two criteria, and I think I put them back up there. This led us on the pathway of benefits of our unity as a church family. So we see from John 17, people getting saved and getting to know Jesus. We just read that. That when we're one, as He and the Father are one, then the world will know that God sent Jesus here for them. To do what? To make them a church member? No. To fill them with the Spirit of God. To receive the Spirit. That's Jesus' baptism. John baptized with water unto repentance. But the one coming after me is greater than me. And He'll baptize you, He'll immerse you, engulf you in the Holy Spirit. That is why Jesus came. That is the ministry of the Lord. If you're here and you call yourself a Christian, but you don't have the Spirit of God living inside of you, you need to get born again. Amen. That's what He came to do. So our oneness allows people to come to know Him and to receive. Why do I say it that way? Receive is an old 16th century English word, which means to possess. So when Jesus, after the resurrection, goes to the disciples, breathes on them, John 20, verse 22, and says, receive the Holy Spirit, He's going all the way back to the garden with Adam and Eve, where mankind fell and lost the Spirit of God. Retake. Repossess God's Spirit. And when we walk in oneness, people start receiving the Spirit of God again, and then they know how much God loves them, and so they walk with Him. And they want to get to know Him, because last time I checked, love unconditional fosters relationship. Number two, benefit. Psalm 133, God commands life and blessing on unity. We looked at that. Genesis 11, the principle of possibility. Anything is possible when we're of one heart and mind saying the same thing. And then number four, it's a precursor to kingdom breakthrough. I talked about Matthew 12, 28. Jesus said, if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God has come. He could easily have said, if I drive out division by the unity of the Spirit, then the kingdom of God will manifest in your midst. Okay, Brother Steve, when we're living the reality of our oneness in the Spirit and the kingdom is manifesting, what does it look like? We took that from Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 and 11. We see the salvation of our God. We see the power of God, dunamis power of the Holy Spirit. We see the kingdom of God in manifestation. That's His redemptive rule over our hearts. And then the authority of Christ in the believer starts manifesting. How many of us want to live and walk every day with the authority of Christ present in our lives? Amen? I don't know about you, but I don't want to be the tail anymore. I want to be the head, not the tail. And I don't want to be underneath my circumstances. I want to be above, not beneath. So we start seeing the authority of Christ in the believer, and the accuser of the brethren gets thrown down. Revelation 12. When the kingdom starts breaking through, are you ready? Hold on to your toes. People start repenting. They repent and believe the good news. Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. When the kingdom starts manifesting in our midst, people turn away from the old and they turn to God. If you just turn to God this morning, give your heart and life fully to Him, you'll turn automatically from sin. And so they repent and start believing the good news. Those things begin to happen in kingdom breakthrough, and unity is a precursor to kingdom breakthrough. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, that's humility, with long-suffering, patience, bearing with each other in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The word endeavoring is a labor term. He's literally saying, work hard at keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Well, He's not asking you to go attain it. He's asking you to keep it. Yeah, right. You already possess it. The glory that You gave me, Father, I gave to them. Why did I give them glory? So we could run around and shout like charismatics. Yay, we've got the glory. It's okay. I am one. I'm not taking a shot at charismatics. I'm just saying he gave us the glory of God so we could be one. And we're not going to be in the reality of our oneness without humility and gentleness. Amen. Hey, I'm dancing a jig with the next guy. Right? You've seen me. But we also have the glory of God to walk in oneness, to be one. So he didn't say earn it or attain it. He said keep it. And then verse 4, for there's one body, one spirit, as you were called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. How many of you know we were all baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit? Corinthians. We're all baptized into one and the same Spirit. One God and Father of all, who's above all, through all, and in y'all. That's how we say it. So everybody say, I've already got it. You already have unity in the Spirit. You're really already one with each other. But do you see how the enemy clouds our view? It's like, oh, well, Josh Kirkus, I mean, he's got a different personality from me. I don't know how close I am to him. Or Donna, she's got a different personality. Maybe I'm not that close. No, I'm one with them. That is the reality. 1 John, I believe it's 5:6, says that the Spirit is the truth. Look up the word truth, it's reality. So who we are by the Spirit is the real reality. God gave us glory already so we could keep the unity we have. So the Father gives it to us, but it's our responsibility to maintain it experientially. Well, I didn't get much help on that. Let me try it again. The Father has given us the glory of God. It's our responsibility to maintain the unity that came through the glory, to maintain it experientially in flesh and bone. It's our responsibility to walk that out. And are you ready? Pass it down to the next generation. I'm tired that all churches leave the next generation as debt. I'm tired of all that. We need to leave them a legacy of faith and spiritual things. That's real legacy. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. You think he's talking about money? Sure, there's a little bit of connotation to provision there. But let's be honest. Jesus introduced something called true riches that we need to be passing on to the next generation. And it shouldn't be fussing and fighting. And it shouldn't be that, oh my gosh, you're changing the carpet. Let's get out of here. Let's cut and run. They're not doing what I think they ought to do. I lived through the 80s and 90s, guys. The church split, whatever that was. There was a lot of it going on. I love Annie. Annie, raise your hand. Annie's heart for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob working together. I love her heart. If you listen to her for 5 minutes, you're going to hear about, I want Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the older generation, the middle generation, younger generation, all working together for a godly legacy. And I have good news, because next Sunday, we're going to set Annie in as family pastor at Grace Church. Just like, amen. Just like we set in Gavin a month or two ago, laid hands on him, got the oil out. We were going to do it this Sunday. But Matthew, her husband, is out of town on drill, and they both wanted to be together, which I totally honor. So we'll wait for him. But we'll set Annie in next week as family pastor, and we're super excited. The board finalized all that on Monday of this last week. So 6 days ago, she was here Tuesday. I mean, she's fired up. And family pastor, I know it's a new term, but 0 from birth to 20. She'll be overseeing that. And so when we eat the word together this Wednesday night, I want you to come. If you have students in Students of Grace, I want you to come. Because it's for the parents too. And we're just teaching how to sit with the author in the scripture. Not check the box off, oh, I read a scripture today. Yay for me. But Lord, I want to sit with you. And I see what this says. But what's your personal word to me through what this says? What are you saying to me right now? We learn to hear the voice of the Lord. Amen. Isn't that good? So I love to hear Annie talk about it. I love her heart for the generations working together. And what's the Lord doing right now at Grace Church? I need you to hear me on this. He is forging together the core family of Grace Church so he can build what he wants to build. Forging us together, heating us up, beating us, shaping us into what? A sharp, two-edged sword that deals the devil damaging blows. Amen. So he's bringing us together in unity so the next 20 years we can have such a healthy body that's advancing his kingdom one heart at a time. It's so healthy we pass a legacy of absolute empowerment and unity to the next generation. Amen. That the next generation is able to say, you know what, it wasn't like that for me. I grew up in a church that genuinely loved one another. They really had one another's backs. They gave grace where there were differences. They actually understood that our unity comes through our diversity being merged together. So be it, Lord. Amen, somebody. So be it. So what is true Bible unity? It is a genuine posture of the Spirit towards one another. That part is true. But it's also walked out. We got to walk it out. We can't just amen. Yeah, I think that unity of spirit stuff is probably true. It's in the Bible. We can't just amen it. We got to follow Jesus together in this. So we follow Jesus together. Biblical unity is we follow him together as one. Amen. Lord, tear down the walls. Amen. Tear down the walls. So we actually choose to have relationship with each other. I don't want us to just be church members who vaguely know each other. I want us to actually have relationship intentionally with each other. Share our experiences with each other. How about this? Listen to the Lord in each other. I like that. Confirm Christ in each other. What does that mean? So Kenda comes and says, Brother Steve, I was hearing this from the Lord. I'm super excited. You know, I feel like he's telling me to do this when I was sitting with him. And I can confirm that for her. Encourage her. Isn't that good? Helps us fine-tune our hearing. We confirm the word of the Lord in each other. There's wisdom in a multitude of counsel. So we actually encourage each other because we're following Jesus together. We love each other. Why? Because we're following Jesus together. We share our life experiences with each other because we're following Jesus together. Remember the plan. Brother Steve wanted to plan last week. And then the word of the Lord was, you don't need a man-made plan. That's right. He will interrupt it. He said, how about you all each take personal responsibility for my lordship in your heart. And as you move deeper in love with me, you'll move towards each other. It's fair to say he's going to take your walls down. As you move closer and closer to him. How many people, you don't have to raise your hand, how many people in this church could testify that I self-protected? I was always worried about being uncovered or somebody was going to get me or hurt me. But as I moved closer to him, his perfect love began to remove my fear. In the absence of fear is unity, is oneness. So that's what he's doing with Grace Church. And that's the plan. If you need a plan like me, I was talking to Michelle Dykes at lunch last week. She's like me. I'd like to have a plan. I'd like to know what's happening. If you need a plan, here's the plan. Move madly in love with Jesus. Keep moving closer to him. Keep inviting him to be Lord. Keep inviting him to take you to deeper places in intimacy in your personal walk with him. And as you move towards him, you'll move towards each other. That is the plan. It is foolproof plan. And here's the beautiful thing. We move towards Jesus, not selfishly. I've been there where, yeah, you know, I'm going deeper with the Lord right now, and I really love it, and it's really just about me and the Lord. You know, that's okay, but how about when I understand I'm moving deeper into lordship and intimacy with Jesus because, yes, it blesses me, but it blesses Robert, and it helps Donna, and it helps Laura. because I'm part of a greater whole. Are you? You got to get this. When I go all in to Jesus, it is helping Gary and Cindy Dockery. And as they go all in to Jesus, because we're all part of the same family, it causes growth in the body for the building up of itself in love. And we become a spiritual juggernaut, not a bunch of church members who barely know each other, who could tell somebody at the restaurant, yeah, I go to Grace Church. Well, that's fine, but we're not supposed to just go to church. We are the church. We are the church. And we're to have a oneness among us that helps us understand our oneness outside of here. That we're one in the body of Christ as well. And that other churches are not our enemy. Other churches are not our competition. If you know they're hurting people or leading people astray, pray for them. Intercede for them. No church has it perfect. Because you may repent of that. Because church is made up of us. No church has perfect doctrine. Any church that tells you that, run the other direction. We're all looking through a dimly lit glass. But we can take by the Spirit the scriptures and frame our lives and existence around it as a church body. But I want you to catch that, guys. We don't just move into lordship and intimacy with Jesus just for ourselves. We're doing it because how it blesses each other and how we grow together in Christ, Ephesians 4:16, by what every joint supplies causes growth in the body for the building up of itself in love. I don't want to just grow for me. I want to grow because of how it helps God do what he wants to do here at Grace Church. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Everybody say fellowship. The word there is koinonia. It's partnership. It's contributing to the same cause in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And bread there is not just, you know, what's made out of wheat and stuff. If you read it, if you Strong's Concordance it, it is God's divine provision. And look, they continued steadfastly. The word there means fully devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine, to fellowship with each other, breaking of bread, and prayer. Isn't that something? Are you devoted to being developed? Are you devoted to that? Man, I don't want to just check a box that I go to church. I don't want to just check a box that I read the Bible. I want to walk with the author. I want to walk with the head of the church and let him build. I believe he's real. And I believe he wants to build a church in America that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. I believe that. You think our country struggles with division? Then let's be a model. That we can be united around the cause of Christ. Verse 46. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. Look at that. They went to church together and they visited each other. And they ate God's divine provision together in each other's houses. This is the early church. Remember the prophetic word of the Lord we keep hearing that the new is the old? We need to return to how the church, our roots, how the church was birthed. Sunday was not the main thing. Jesus was the main thing. And then making him known. They want to know him and then make him known. So they were at the temple, house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Let me see if there's one more. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily people being saved. John 17. When they're one, even as you and I, Father, are one, people will get saved. They'll start figuring out, hey, God sent Jesus here for me. He loves me. Even though I've been a sinner, I've been in the world, he loves me just like he loves his own son. And people are getting saved. At one point, 3,000. Another point, 5,000. Is it any mystery now? Now do you understand why the devil delighted in all the church splits? Why he delights in 40,000 registered denominations? He delights in all that. And I'm not dissing on any denomination. I am not. But it is a reality that the body of Christ has been divided. And we need to, here's what's sad. All this time we've possessed the unity of the Spirit. All this time we had the glory of God. Then why are we so divided? Because we're carnal. And we don't relate by the Spirit. Our unity is in the Spirit until we come to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, the measure of a mature man, to the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ himself. Until we all look like him, we keep the unity of the Spirit until we get there. Boy, I love that. So, for real, can you see the power of a body that's actually united and is one? Can you see it? People start getting saved. And I mentioned the word koinonia is fellowship, so it's partnership. Let me put it up there for you again. The Apostles' Doctrine and Fellowship. Koinonia means partnership, contribution to the cause. They're participating. It means to participate with the cause. I mentioned Philippians chapter 1, verse 5. Some translations, Paul says, I give thanks for your participation in the gospel. We're to participate with one another in going after Jesus. And how beautiful is it that God would write this in our hearts in the midst of great division in our nation? It's not like we're borrowing from the culture and bringing it into church life. There ain't nothing to borrow there. Woo! Only by pride comes contention. Only by pride and ego and fear comes all that. We're not of that kingdom. Amen? I vote and I pray. I really do. But my hope is not in a politician. My hope is in the Lordship of Jesus Christ and people just like you and me on a daily basis, loving well, abiding in Jesus, in love with him. No matter what happens, November, what is it, 2nd? No matter what happens, Jesus is still on the throne of my heart. I'm still going after God with everything I am. I'm going to love him with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. I'm going to vote and I'm going to pray. But my hope is in the Lord. Come on, amen. Amen. What's the worst thing that could happen? He works it for our good. It goes the wrong way, and in a few years they arrest us all just for being a Christian. Amen, brother. They arrest all of us. We'll have the greatest prison ministry the world's ever seen. Let me tell you what else will happen. People will be dying to get into prison because that's where the body of Christ is. Are you listening to me? Those who have ears to hear and a hunger in their heart to know Jesus, they'll want to go to prison. Every human being is made by him and for him. Every human being has a bent towards goodness. Every human being has a bent towards him. He stacked the deck. God has cornered the market on human fulfillment. Amen. We're made for his rule. All right, now, when it says they were all together in one accord, I told you that's not a car. One accord, listen to this, it means one mind, literally, same passion. They're all together possessing the same passion. They're partnering together, partnering, not estranged from each other, partnering, fit together with the same passion. And God produced unity among by the Spirit among believers, going after the same cause. This has been missing from the body of Christ. And people are getting saved. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, as the elect, not so you'll be elect. You already are elect. He gave you that too. As the elect of God, holy and beloved. You're already holy. You're already beloved of God. If you came today so he'd love you, you're too late. He already does. So put on tender mercy, put on kindness, put on humility, meekness, long-suffering. Bear with one another. Forgive each other. If anyone has a complaint, even as Christ forgave you, so you must forgive. Amen. Aren't you glad he didn't say this time forgive or God won't forgive you? That was pre-cross doctrine. I know, and Jesus even said it. He also said it in Matthew 18. But once he died, once he shed his blood for the remission of all sin, we entered into a new covenant. Because the new covenant didn't start on page 1000 of your Bible where it says in big print, New Testament. It didn't start there. You can't start a covenant without the shedding of blood. Once he shed his blood, now it's forgive because you're forgiven. Forgiveness has been appropriated to you. Is everybody forgiven? Well, not everybody has received what's been appropriated. You do that by faith. That's how you got saved. Saved by grace. That's God's part. Through faith, receptivity. That's your part. But forgiveness is there. It's already been given. Just like healing, as we were talking about earlier. Healing's already covenant provided. So faith appropriates it. Man, and when I was growing up in church, it was like, my faith is me doing all kinds of religious things so God would like me and maybe he would heal me because I'm working the scriptures just right. And then I figured out, hey, the healer lives inside of me. I already have healing. He's in me. So how about I utilize my faith not to perform religiously, but I'll use my faith to receive what is already mine in Christ. Front loaded. And you say, what if I don't see it? What if I get the sniffles? What if I get diagnosed with the flu or something like that? Well, I'm still just awaiting the manifestation. But I'm not causing it to happen. It's mine. The healer himself lives in me. But many times when I pray, I'm like, Lord, take the life that's in my spirit because your spirit is in my spirit and release it through the rest of my body. Pure light in whom there's no darkness lives in Steve's spirit. So Lord, take what's in my spirit and permeate it through the rest of me. All right, verse 14. But above all, everybody say above all. Above all, put on love, agape. Unconditional, unending. Which is your bond of perfection. Your bond to unity. So, the unity of the Spirit we're called to is the extraordinary love of God. And it produces sin-free, strife-free, stress-free relationships where humility rules the day and nobody cares who gets the credit. We're all in this together in Him. I love this word on your bond of perfection. It literally means glue. The love of God in our midst and in our hearts is what binds us together. It also says in the Strong's, it's an inner identity that produces harmony among believers. An inner identity that we're loved. Love that. So when you have forgiveness and forbearance and freedom ruling and governing the house, then you have the kingdom of God in your midst. How many of you think I'm called to love you even if you don't love me? Be honest. How many of you think I'm called to love you even if you... How about am I called to forgive you even if you don't ask me? How many of you think I'm called to treat you right even if you don't treat me right? How many of you think you have the same mandate? You do. This is not just for Steve. We're all called to this. That is our oneness. That means we're called to love the one next to us or whoever it is, even if they don't love us well. We're called to forgive them, even if they don't ask. We're called to treat each other right, even if we're not being treated right. Woo, amen. Who do we learn that from? Christ. Where's Christ now? He's in us. Brother Steve, how on earth do you do that? How do you love people that don't love you well? Well, it's pretty simple. I'm aware of a log that's in my own eye. And I dare not forget that it's there when I'm looking at the speck in somebody else's. Learn that from Jesus too. Where there's humility and repentance, God can do anything. If you mess up, fess up. Swallow your pride, yeah, and then get up. Keep going. Swallow your pride. Go to them. I'm so sorry I said that. I was wrong. I have story after story of people that were justified. The enemy helped them hang on to their anger and their unforgiveness towards somebody. And they're like, okay, good lands, Lord. I'll forgive them. They don't deserve it, but I'll forgive them. And then he says this. Oh, no. I want you to ask them to forgive you for how you've treated them the last several years. Why is it so quiet in here? Where'd everybody go? I have story after story. Like, all right, Lord, we're kicking rocks. I'll forgive them. It's because I'm so amazing. And he's like, no, I want you to ask them to forgive you because you know better. You know you shouldn't hate them. You know you shouldn't have this bitterness in your heart towards them. We have a common enemy, guys. The common enemy is deception. We've all been deceived. We've all given place to our emotions and the flesh. My goodness. So we got to remember that. How many of you know there's disagreements in marriage? But you work it out, right? It's maintain your unity, your humility, and repentance. Quick to forgive, quick to repent. Now, there's my introduction. Now, I want to talk to you. You still love me, right? Everybody love me right now? We feel good because where we're going is the word of the Lord to us. And we can't be ignorant of the enemy's devices because we're not going to see God do everything he wants to do here in our oneness. And we're not going to see this legacy to the next generation where our babies and our toddlers and our young people grow up in an atmosphere of great love. We're not going to see that if we don't understand how it can all be torn down. I told you what our unity of the Spirit is. Now I'm going to tell you how it can be thwarted. Because Satan cannot stop us. We can only stop ourselves. Think of all the churches in America right now. How many think we got a lot of churches? We got a lot of churches in America. Why don't they have more impact on communities? Why don't they have more impact on the nation? It's because they're too individualized. We live in a Western culture where, right, Burger King, I want it my way. We choose churches like Walmart. Well, I like that one, or I don't like that one. You know, I'm going to stay there. I don't like that one. We got to be sitting with the Lord and saying, Lord, am I called here? If I'm called here, I want to stay here. I do it. Right, Brian? I mean, I ask the Lord, am I called here? That's right. I'm telling you, it's not always peaches and rose petals, guys. You better be called. You're shocked, aren't you? You better be called, and I don't mean mama called. I mean you better be called. And no, did you know 1 Corinthians 12 says that God sets the members? He calls the members of a church together. You can't get up and just storm out unless you've talked to him. You better talk to him. Lord, am I called here? And if I am, Lord, I repent of my attitude then. I'm going to say it again. The devil can't stop us. Only we can stop ourselves. And the reason the church in America has not had the impact, because she doesn't see the power of our oneness and what it does. Just like we saw in Acts chapter 2. And then they're so individualized. I got rights, man. I got rights. And these people, they better treat me the right way. I remember a guy saying, I'm not going back to that church because there's no love in there. And I'm like, well, you were there. If there's no love there, what were you doing? Didn't Jesus teach us to be the answer to our own prayers? He never prayed one prayer he didn't put himself behind. Even when he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He died for the forgiveness of their sin. So when we're praying, Lord, I pray love would explode in that house. Father, use me to be an ambassador of your love in that house. Not, let me stand over here and judge everybody. Robert, more love is needed from you. Donna, you're short on love. I'm telling you, there's no love in this house. You're just partnering with the accuser of the brethren. If we're short on love, be the love of God in the house. Come on, give him praise. Come on. Amen. Why hasn't the church in America had more impact? It's simple. They're not partners in the gospel. They're all individualized islands looking out for themselves. But like we were saying, what if Rebecca, what if myself, what if we start going all in to Christ, not just for ourselves and our own walk, but we know what it does to this house. We know what will happen catalytically in Grace Church and beyond Grace Church when we all make that decision. You know what? I want to go all in. I want to walk with him every day, not just Sunday. Yep, I want to abide in him and him in me and bear much fruit. All right, are you ready, everybody, for the passage? Here it is. Galatians 5:13, amplified. For you, brethren, we're indeed called to freedom. How many of you know when you're free in Christ, you can be given? You're not self-protecting, you're giving yourself. Look at Jesus. He was not afraid. He was full of the Father's love and acceptance. He gave himself to the world. Okay, so you're called to freedom, only don't let your freedom be incentive to the flesh. Everybody say the flesh. And an opportunity or an excuse for selfishness, America. But through love, you should serve one another. So what does love look like? We start serving one another. How can I help you? What can I do to help you? For the whole law concerning human relationships is complied within the one precept, you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. And then he says, but if you bite and devour each other in partisan strife. I didn't put that in there. Partisan politics. Enough said. If you bite and devour one another, be careful that you and the whole fellowship are not consumed by the devil, by one another. But I say, walk instead. Live habitually in the Spirit. Be responsive to him, controlled by him, guided by him, abiding daily basis. Amen. Daily basis. If we can just get the whole church abiding, if we'd all just decide, I want to live connected to Christ, boy, we'd start seeing fruit. Amen. Isn't that the promise? If you abide in me, you'll bear much fruit. We'll have love, joy, peace. We'll have unity. Then you'll certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh, that of human nature without God. Woo, my goodness. So what's he saying? Be leery of the devil, guys. The devil could come in and hurt the church. No, he's talking to us. The church is taken down, not by the enemy outside, but the enemy inside. But we give ourselves to the flesh. We're immature. We're carnal. And we give ourselves over to the flesh. I looked up the word bite in the Strong's Concordance. It means to wound each other's soul. Be careful of the flesh, lest you wound each other. And then I looked up devour. It means eat all the way down. And then consume each other means to leave nothing but ruin. That's what's happened in the body of Christ. That hinders our effectiveness. Because when we're one, when we're really going after him together, notice I didn't say we're going after our membership together. We're going after him together. When we do that, God adds to our number daily those who are being saved. And people who are saved find all these loving people that say, hey, I realize, Kenda, you just came to Christ. Let me walk with you. Let me help you in whatever way I can. Or let me get you to somebody who can help you. Because we don't want you to just make a decision at an altar and leave the baby at the hospital. God doesn't just care about the wedding. He cares about the marriage. And so we got to have people in the church that are willing to disciple. And say, you know what? I'll lay my life down for you. I'll walk with you to help you listen, learn from him to be like him. Not learn from me. Learn from him to be like him. Amen. Is that good? Paul doesn't say, look out for the devil. He could devour you guys. The enemy can't stop us. All his authority has been stripped. He goes about like a roaring lion, but he got no teeth. The best he can do is gum on your leg a little bit. But he will entice you. That's a good picture, isn't it? It's true. He's just gumming on your leg like that little wiener dog. You know, just he's 15. He got no teeth. He just... gumming on your ankle. I mean, see, get off of me. I'm serious. Has he been stripped of all his power and authority? Yes. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto him. He has it. And then he gave it to you, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and said, let's go make disciples. All the authority I possess, I'm sharing it with you. The glory I have, I gave to you. One of the ways we can make disciples, we have a culture of oneness that we all contribute. We all partner together. Going after him. We love him. If you haven't figured that out about Grace Church, the vision is him. We want people to know him. So I don't know how much time you have, but I want to tell a story that thinks. When we first started Grace Church 21 years ago in Stacy and my house out there in Hera, Brian and Gretchen were there. Jody and David were there. Our first baptism was in Jody's hot tub, David and Jody's hot tub. We had 11 adults. And we weren't even sure it was going to be a church. We didn't know really what it was. All we knew is we wanted to know Jesus. We wanted the simplicity of falling in love with him. Like we loved him, but we wanted more of him. Not necessarily more of church. I'm not against church, but more of him. And then, as you can see, we found out more people than us wanted to just know him. That is our goal. It's him. That's why if you came to us and said, you know, I feel like the Lord's calling me to, you know, Edmond, or he's asking me to go to Life Church in Midwest City, or we'll bless you in that. We don't own anybody. He owns them all. What we really care about is that you know him. See, if it's true that if you try to seek your own life, Jesus said if you try to save yourself, you'll lose it, right? If it's true individually, is it not true corporately? If the church tries to save herself, if we made Grace Church out to be some landing pad of this is where we're all headed, we would lose ourselves. So our landing pad is Jesus. Yes. And everybody who comes here, we want you to know him intimately. We want you to walk with him every day. I mentioned earlier the Lord's cornered the market on human fulfillment. So that's our desire. You can't be fulfilled as a human being without knowing Christ. Amen. Well, what about all the other religions in the world? Aren't they all the same? Jesus is not a religious leader. Right. He is the living God. Right. He is the living God, the one true God. He knew this, and oddly enough, the Pharisees knew it. That's why they killed him. Yep. He made no bones about it. He made himself out to be God. He was one with God. So they killed him. So he's not a religious figure. There was no religion in the Garden of Eden. Right. He is the living God, and every human being is made by him and for him. So that's our heart, that people would know him. But not just that Shauna comes into relationship and receives Christ's Spirit inside, but that she learns to walk with him. Yeah. Why? Because it's the answer. He is the answer to everything. Yeah, amen. Amen. So anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. That really is our heart. And we talk about advancing God's kingdom one heart at a time. That's our vision because he told us that was his vision when he was here. He preached the gospel, the good news of the kingdom. Well, the kingdom is in the Holy Spirit. So all we're saying by that is we want the Spirit of Christ living inside every human being, everyone. Amen. And then number two, once he's in there, that he becomes Lord. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is lording you, you're free. Right. You'll know the truth. Truth will set you free. So the enemy can't stop us. All he can do is tempt us to hurt and harm, bite and devour each other. That's what he does. Listen to this. The nature of the flesh, independent of the restraint of the Holy Spirit, is to hurt and to harm, to bite and devour each other. The nature of the flesh, independent of the Spirit of God. This is why the enemy doesn't want the Spirit of God governing churches or governing the people in them. Because when left to the flesh, the nature of the flesh, right, it says of human nature without God is to bite and devour. That the nature of the flesh is to turn on each other in times of strain or pressure. Okay, we see it all the time. Look at America, the test that she's under. Amen. There's strain, there's pressure, and what are we seeing? Biting and devouring each other. Now, that can't be here. We are the body of Christ, amen? So we need to pass these tests. Man without God will always blame somebody else. Man without God will put his self-righteous, pompous hat on and blame everybody else so nobody's looking at him. This is why the five core tenets that the Lord gave us before the year started. Incredible. Who knew what 2020 would hold? So honor, not dishonor, is what he said. Humility, not pride. Trust, not fear. Unity, not division. And then we haven't even gotten to the last one. Reconciliation over tuck and run. Hearts for reconciliation. That when things go awry, there's bumps in the road because we're human. But we got a heart to reconcile when things go awry. Amen, somebody. So we don't want to turn on each other. But if we're not sober, we can bite and devour each other with our tongues, with gossip, with self-righteousness and pride, right? Oh, I can't believe Bill is doing that. Cindy, come here, I want to tell you something. I just can't believe old Gary's doing this. I can't believe. Yeah. Cindy's like, well, sit down because I have a lot of time. Let me tell you a few things. You think you know it. You know, I can't believe they treated you that way. I can't believe that. So we're not biting and devouring each other with swords and weapons. It's our tongue. It's our mindset. And it's born out of pride and self-righteousness, all the gossip and slander. I'm going to say this too. In your marriage and family, Satan can't stop God's life and blessing on your home or your relationships, but you can. I'm going to say it again. The enemy, he has no authority in your house to wreck your house. You have the authority. Okay? You can have God's life and blessing commanded on unity. So his power is to deceive and tempt you to go back to the carnal nature. Look at 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1, passion. Brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I found it impossible to speak to you as those who are spiritually mature. For you're still dominated by the mindset of the flesh. And because you're immature infants in Christ, I had to nurse you and feed you with milk, not with solid food. In fact, you're still not ready to be fed solid food. Verse 3, for you're living your lives dominated by the flesh. Ask yourselves, is there jealousy among you? Do you compare yourself with others? Do you quarrel like children and take sides? If you're going to take a side, take the Lord's side. Amen. If so, well, this proves you're living your lives centered on yourselves, dominated by the mindset of the flesh and behaving like unbelievers. Unbelievers live for themselves. We don't do that. We're part of the greater whole. We live for him and for each other. Amen. We go all into him, not just for ourselves, but for each other because of what he's building here. It's his desire. There's nothing stopping revival from coming to this house. Nothing. Just our simple decision to say, I'm going all in. And I want Jesus to be Lord of my heart, my mouth, my thought life, and my private life. I want him to be Lord. I choose intimacy with him every day. And I'm going to sit with him in the scripture. I'm going to develop a relationship. I'm going to learn to hear his voice. If we all do that, we will be lit for the whole world to see. Amen? And not just here. They won't be like, oh man, I got to go to service there. I'll never find Jesus. Oh no, he's in you. He's in you. They can find Jesus in Marlin. They can find Jesus in D. They can find Jesus over at their house or Belle and Kelly's house, Chester and Caitlin's house. He lives in us. We don't go to church. We are the church. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with inviting people to church and be part of a spiritual family. People are looking for that. There's no doubt. But you have the goods too. So lose the mindset that, well, I have nothing to offer. If you have Jesus, you have the answer. Well, I don't know enough Bible. I don't know enough of this. I don't have enough information. If you know him, you're qualified. He equips the called. So anyway, everybody love that passage? That was good. James 3:16, Amplified. For wherever there's jealousy envy and contention or rivalry and selfish ambition, there'll be confusion, unrest, disharmony, rebellion, and all sorts of evil and vile practices. Yikes. Where there's strife? You think there's any strife in churches? Any strife in America right now? He didn't say where there's homosexuality and everybody's committing adultery, it's a gateway to all sorts of evil. He said where there's strife, because that lives in here and in here. And it's a gateway to all kinds of other evil practices. Jesus said, if I drive out division by the unity of the Spirit, the kingdom of God will come to you. You'll see it. We're gonna own this word. Amen. Father, let us own this word. Let us become one with this word, that we act on it. We respond to it. One more. Gavin, you guys just give me 5 minutes. Don't come out yet. Give me 5 minutes. Proverbs 6:12. A worthless person or a wicked man walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eyes. He shuffles his feet. He points with his fingers. There it is. Verse 14. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. And what does he do? He sows discord. Doesn't say the devil's doing it. Says he's doing it. The enemy can't stop us. I hope you realize that today. It's really just up to us and the decisions that we make to walk in his holiness and uprightness in him. You know, Gavin, for those of you that have been listening to him since he's taken over as worship pastor... And isn't he doing a great job? I mean, he's just doing a great, I misspoke. He's not doing a job. He's actually doing his calling. Doesn't he fit well in what the Lord's building here? He does. Same for Annie. Annie so heightens, you know, as a staff. Enough of that. I'll just tell you the story. I guess what I was going to say is I'm being so forthcoming today. But one of the great things about Annie is, remember how we were talking the last 6 months? If you've been to Prayer Shield, you know this. We're looking for a shift among the staff. But we felt like with the staff, we had slipped in the flesh and immaturity, lost our way a little bit. And what the Lord was saying is, I need a Christ-first, Spirit-led staff environment. Not Sunday, but during the week. That we're Christ first. And maybe the reason we're all here together is to know him and walk with him. And that's why we know each other, is to pursue Jesus with all of our heart. Annie adds to that. It's amazing with the staff, the culture, and the environment of Christ firstness. And I hope that encourages you, because that is what the Lord's doing even among the staff. And so Gavin and his Godward attitude for unity and all those things, and now Annie... has been awesome just in the culture of the staff. And Gavin has such a heart, if you listen to him, for oneness and praise and worship. Oh, there he is right there. So he and I were talking the other day. We chat every Monday. And we were talking about how important it is, because he wants to see unity within praise and worship, but he wants to see unity among the church, you know, Grace Church, and even beyond that. But how important it is that we guard what we say, that we're not sowing discord, and how we assess, am I building this ministry? If I were to put a tape recorder in my back pocket and people hear me talk about being in the worship ministry, for example, because this is he and I's conversation, am I building the worship ministry by what I say, or am I tearing it down? And then even with the church, assessing, am I building and edifying Grace Church in how I talk about Grace Church, or am I tearing it down? Because it's very important that we guard our heart. And then the Lord said, Psalm says, set a guard over my mouth, Lord. And there's a guy named Jim Weideman who became an incredible kids pastor up at Willie George in Tulsa at their church up there. Jim tells a story how... when he took over as kids pastor, that he had this young boy in kids church up in Tulsa named Bubba. This is a true story. That really was his name. And so anyway, Every day after church, his wife would ask him, hey, how was kids church today? Ah, it was terrible. And he'd go into all this stuff about Bubba and how unruly he is and it causes problems in the whole kids church and all that. And so, you know, a few months into it, he's just worn out. He can't get any volunteers. I wonder why. And then he goes to the Lord, like any good husband, and he says, Lord, this woman you gave me, She doesn't even volunteer in kids ministry. She won't even help me. And the Lord said immediately, have you ever listened to yourself talk about kids ministry? I wouldn't volunteer in your kids ministry. He was cut to the quick. And from that day on, he took the Lord's perspective of Bubba and kids ministry. And so every Sunday, she wouldn't even ask him how it went. She quit asking. So he would just start sharing how amazing it is. Here's what the Lord's doing. Here's what the Lord's doing. Here's who's getting baptized. Here's, you know, all this stuff. And 3 months after that, she came to him and said, could I volunteer in kids ministry? So we have to watch what we say. Do we sow discord or do we build up and edify within the church? Gavin, go ahead and come. You know, 2 weeks ago when I was in South Dakota, it was prophetically mentioned by Gretchen and also Annie that there's a shift in Grace Church, and that's true. And the shift is towards reproducing the message of God's truth, the person of Jesus, that he's so graciously given us to see. We can see him. We want to walk with him. But we cannot do this, what we're called to do, if we don't understand how the enemy will try to blow it up. Okay, and I know it's not the devil. We're not being warned against him. All he can do, though, is entice us to give place to the flesh. So I'm asking all of us as a church family, don't just amen this today, act on this today. Say in your heart before the Lord, sit with him. Lord, do you want me to be a part of Grace Church? I want to see God's plan succeed at Grace Church. Maybe you sit with him and he says, yes, you're called there for better or for worse, rich or poor. Is that fair? That's all I'm asking you to do. Just sit with him and say, are we called? We don't have a church membership. So if you're thinking, you know, you get to sign a card or something, that's not going to happen. Church membership is not in the Bible, but being a disciple of Jesus is. And being part of the church of Jesus Christ and his movement to fill the earth with heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. Well, that's very biblical. So I'm asking you to sit with him. And then I would say this, Brother Steve, well, what else can I do? This series is Pathways to Partnership. And all these five core tenets are all designed for us to work together for him to do what he wants to do. So we come together in the unity of spirit. How about this? Are you ready? Start making intentional connections. Don't allow the enemy to keep you estranged from each other. I'll tell you right now, Gavin needs help in regard to worship, praise ministry. Annie needs help as she comes on and launches what's in her heart for kids of grace and students of grace. They need help. The Thanksgiving Day outreach is coming up, and we are doing it. I called Crest. I called Dollar General. I called OnQ. I called several places, and all of them said yes. Please come. Because I just wanted to ask with COVID, I want to be respectful. If you don't want us taking food, I understand, but every one of them wants us to come. Amen. So the outreach is coming up. Discovery groups need help. They need involvement. Prayer Shield. Prayer Shield's an amazing every other Saturday morning time to not only meet with Jesus and worship the Lord, but connect with some great people. If you love to pray, man, Prayer Shield is a great way to get connected. So there's a lot of ways we move towards Jesus and then we move towards each other. And, you know, you could come up after church and say, Gavin, I'm all yours. How can I help? Whatever. Or you could talk to Annie. But what we as a staff talked about is you can also go online and simply click, you know, if you come to talk to Gavin and there's a line, then just go to the website and click the Connect tab, Volunteer at Grace. Again, that's as the Lord leads you. Sit with him. But let's begin to possess, to own oneness. And let's be a light in a world that really needs to see what it looks like. Amen? Stand with me. Well, if you're here this morning, I got to ask this. If you're here, you've never invited Jesus' Spirit into your heart. I mentioned it earlier. Maybe you've been to church your whole life, but have you ever invited Him? Lord, by the Spirit, come into my heart. Be Lord of my life. If you've never done that and you'd like to receive Him today, just slip your hand up and say, pray for me, Brother Steve. Anybody? Amen. Thank you. Anyone else? Young man in the back. I see you, buddy. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Pray this after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning to receive the life of your Son, His Spirit, into my spirit, that we may be one as you and the Father are one. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming into my heart. And now I give you permission to be Lord of my life. Teach me intimacy. Teach me your word. I am yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give God praise. Way to go, buddy. Bless you. Bless you. All right. Well, let me pray over you, Father. I thank you for unity and oneness in this house. Thank you for what you're building. Let this word not be stolen. May we never bite or devour one another. The Lord, wise as serpents, harmless as doves, may we know your ways and let you build what you want to build here. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said...
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.com.